America's founders spoke often about God as being the source of our rights. Here are some quotes that Gary Varvel put together. Thomas Jefferson said in 1781, "And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are of the gift of God?" Benjamin Franklin in 1787 said, "Only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters," end quote. George Washington said in his inaugural address in 1789, "My fervent supplications to that almighty being who rules over the universe, who presides in the councils of nations, and whose providential aids can supply every human defect, that his benediction may consecrate to the liberties and happiness of the people of the United States a government instituted by themselves for these essential purposes," end quote, from George Washington. But today's elites seem intent on banishing God from the public arena any way they can. Well, one man who often reminds Americans about the war against God has an unusual platform. I'm talking about the political cartoonist, one of the nation's best. His name is Gary Varvel. We've had him on Vocal Point before, and I'll link to that. Now, Varvel was the Indianapolis Star cartoonist for 24 years. His work is syndicated through Creators Syndicate. In 2015, he was inducted into the Indiana Journalism Hall of Fame. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Gary Varvel joins us now to talk about the war against God, especially in terms of godly values and recognizing God in the public arena. Gary, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much. It's an honor to be with you, Jerry.
Okay, so you put together those quotes recently in one of the articles that you wrote. Even though you're a political cartoonist, your work is very serious and very important.
Well, I think that's kind of the essence with editorial cartooning, is that we're dealing with some serious issues. We tend to use satire, and we use metaphors, different kinds of tools to kind of make it funny a lot of times. Sometimes humor is not the goal of the cartoon. It's just a tool that we use to get the point across. But we're talking about serious things, and when as a Christian – who has watched the, you know, I'm 66 now, and I've watched what's happened to our country. It seems to me that there's some wise counsel from the founders that we need to go back to.
Oh, I totally agree. And in fact, the essence of America is self-rule under God. And I think just those three quotes alone show that. And two of those three that we quoted had even kind of questionable views when it comes to the Christian faith. Whereas, the 55 founding fathers that met to give us the Constitution, more than 95% were Trinitarian Christians in good standing with Trinitarian churches, according to the research of John Eidsmo.
Yes, and so they grew up in an educational system from the 1640 to 1647, I believe it was, that the old Deluder Law was in Massachusetts, that they passed this law that if they had 50 families in an area, they had to have a school. And the reason they wanted that is because coming out of the Dark Ages, they saw the importance of education, and they said this is what the law said: "In times past, the old deluder has kept us ignorant of language so that we couldn't read the Word of God. So in this country, we're going to learn how to read. We're going to teach our young people to read so they can read the Word of God. And by doing that, they would keep the government from passing laws that are ungodly." Well, we've gone a long way from that. But the founding fathers grew up under that kind of educational system. And so they saw the importance of these biblical principles. You have to have a religious and moral people. John Adams said that our Constitution is for a religious and moral people. It's wholly inadequate for the government of any other. But what happened to America? Well, I've read a lot of books over the years, and one of the books I read in 1990 was a book by Dave Breeze called Seven Men Who Rule the World from the Grave. And I did a short series in my newsletter about him, and I updated it quite a bit. But he said that the philosophies of Charles Darwin, Karl Marx, Julius Wellhausen, Sigmund Freud, John Dewey, John Maynard Keynes, and Soren Kierkegaard, their philosophies, basically godlessness, had changed how our young people were educated in the school system, and especially coming out of the colleges. And so it changed us. And I just recently came across, again, an article written by John Dumphy in the Humanist magazine. This would have been 1983. And one of the things he said was, he said, "I'm convinced that the battle for humankind's future must be waged and won in the public school classrooms by teachers that correctly perceive their role as proselytizers of a new faith, a religion of humanity that recognizes and respects the spark of what the theologians call divinity in every human being." And I'll skip down. He said, "The rotting corpse of Christianity, together with all its adjacent evils and misery, and the new faith of humanism, resplendent with the promise of a new world in which the never realized Christian ideal of love thy neighbor will finally be achieved." And that is, I mean, he recognized the importance of teaching godlessness and humanistic philosophy in the school system, and we are bearing the fruit of that now.
Yeah, you know, that quote is so astounding on many. I'm very familiar with it. We've even put it in some of the books I've written with Dr. D. James Kennedy. And, yeah. You know, the amazing thing about that, too, okay, 1983, he's writing those things. In that very day, the Soviet Union still existed. And the Soviet Union, you know, in some ways exemplified the very things he talked about, the anti-God movement, you know, get rid of the so-called rotting corpse of Christianity. Of course, that doesn't work because Jesus rose from the dead, and that's how he changed all of world history. But bottom line is the Soviet Union did all those things that that guy was, you know, striving for, and it didn't turn out so well, actually. It wasn't a resplendent future. It was a dismal and gloomy future.
When I go out to speak, I sometimes use some of the quotes that you just mentioned earlier, but I also go into in 1863 – Abraham Lincoln called for a proclamation of prayer, humiliation, and fasting. And in it, in his proclamation, he goes and talks about all of the great advances of America. And we had advanced faster and more than any other nation in the world. But then he said this, "But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which has preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own." And then he says that because we are so full of ourselves, we wouldn't repent to the God who made us. And so he was calling for a day of repentance. And I think it's interesting that he said that in 1863. And Solzhenitsyn, when he was released from Russia, from the Soviet Union, and he comes over here to America, and he said that when he was a young man, he heard some other men talking about the terrible things that had happened to Russia. And they said, "This has all happened because we have forgotten God." And when I talk about this, I find it's fascinating that these men, 100 years apart, come to the same conclusion. And where did they get this idea? From Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, God is telling the nation of Israel, "I'm going to bring you into the promised land. But here's the thing. If you forget me, then I will bring the curse against you that I'm bringing against these nations that I'm driving out before you." And that happened because years later, the nation of Israel forgot them. God brings Babylon to bring them into captivity. And, you know, America is not Israel, but there has never been a nation, I think, in history who was founded on the godly principles that America has been. And we have drifted away and flat out rejected God. And now we have a culture that is in a war against God.
But it's so true. By the way, there was a great Puritan writer. He went to Harvard, I think, at the age of 12, maybe graduated at the age of 15, something like that. His name was Cotton Mather, And he wrote a book in the early 1700s called The Great Works of Christ in America. And he was talking about, you know, how all these different godly things were happening by design from mainly it was the Puritans, quite frankly, of which he was a number, you know, such as the Old Eluder Satan Act, such as Harvard University, founded by Puritans for the purpose of the gospel. Anyway, here's what Cotton Mather said as early as the early 1700s. Religion begat prosperity, and the daughter hath consumed the mother. And that's exactly what you were saying about Deuteronomy 8, about the Abraham Lincoln speech, you know, intoxicated with unbroken success, etc. We've forgotten God because we've become so prosperous.
That's right. You know, and where we are now, we've got, you know, we're all this talk about the 2024 election, and they're always saying that this is the most important election in our history.
Well, it is.
Okay. So, but here's the thing. I think about what Solzhenitsyn again said in 1978. He says, we place too much hope in political and social reforms only to find out that we were being deprived of our most precious possession, our spiritual life. And I agree. I think that our problems are spiritual. They're not political. If people would come to realize that, well, for instance, their identity, you know, your identity is a big thing today, and people are trying to decide if what sex they are, what gender they are. If they would define their identity in Jesus Christ, that would change their life. It would change America. If we would turn to the one who created us.
That is so true. By the way, I've got to ask you a question. Since you've been a committed Christian for quite a while now, including during all the time that you were, for example, published in the Indianapolis Star and so forth. And by the way, if people, you know, you just start looking at different sources like townhall.com, where they'll have, you know, political cartoons, or foxnews.com and so forth, you'll see Gary Varvel's work all over the place. Did they ever, at the paper, and we have about 2 minutes left, did you ever get to a situation where you had like a really good Christian oriented cartoon and they said, nope, we're not going to let this run in the papers?
No, they never did. And it's because I think before, you know, I started working there during the Pulliam era, when Gene Pulliam was the publisher, and it was a family-owned newspaper. In 1999, they sold it to Gannett. And because I had already had a tradition of doing these Christmas cartoons or Easter cartoons, then nobody had the guts to tell me I couldn't do them, since I had a whole history of doing them. And so, no, they never did tell me to do that. I mean, there were cartoons that I came up with that they didn't feel comfortable with me doing, but they weren't because it was too religious. And, you know, I understood. I was working for a secular newspaper. That wasn't my job. And so I had to kind of pick and choose my battles, you know. But that didn't happen there. No, they were okay with it.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because I mean,
I don't think they'd be okay with it today, but I don't work there anymore.
Yeah, no, I understand. Okay. We have about a minute left. My goodness. How do we call America back to God?
Well, we need Christians to stand up. I just recently was talking with John Stone Street, with the Colson Center, and I asked him the question. I told him, and I said, when I was working at the newspaper, I was afraid I was going to lose my job. So I was a quiet Christian. You know, I would speak up every once in a while. People knew I was a Christian, but I didn't make much of a deal about it. And a lot of things happened that I didn't confront.
Okay, we have 30 seconds, okay?
And so I asked him, I said, what do you suggest for Christians? And he said, Christians have to get to the point where they're not afraid to get fired. And until we Christians get bold enough to stand up for our faith, even in the workplace, then we're not going to have an impact on the society. We need to be salt and light, and that's what we need to do.
What we need is more courageous Christians.
Courageous.
Like you. GaryVarvel.com. Varvel is spelled V-A-R-V-E-L. Gary, thanks so much, and keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jerry.